Tribulation worketh patience. The trial of your faith worketh patience. The Apostle Paul said, we glory in tribulation. Now, how do you glory in heartache? How do you glory in trial? How do you glory in tribulation? It's easy. Paul said, I would never have known patience if I hadn't have had tribulation. Not only that, he said, I would never have gotten to use the patience I had if I hadn't have had heartache and trial and tribulation. You know, it's an awful thing to have something you can't use. You have patience, but you don't get to use it unless you have some trials. Let me say this. This is sort of an impromptu statement here. But did you ever think about this? Some qualities depend on conditions. Some qualities are qualities of reaction, and other qualities are qualities of action. For example, love does not depend on condition. I can love you regardless whether you love me, hate me, doesn't matter. I can love you. I love a lot of folks that hate me. In fact, I love everybody. I love a lot of folks that hate me. But you can't stop me. You can huff and puff till you blow my house down, but you can't stop me from loving you. See, that's an action quality. Let's take the matter of kindness. I can be kind. You can't keep me. I don't need you to do anything for me to be kind. I can be kind whether you do anything or not. See, kindness and love are action qualities. Take the matter of generosity. You can be generous. And nobody has to do anything. You don't have to have a trial to love people. You don't have to have a burden or a heartache to be generous. You don't have to have a burden or a heartache to be kind to somebody. But now there are qualities that require certain conditions before they can be manifested. For example, take forgiveness. Unless somebody has wronged you, you can't forgive them. You just can't all of a sudden forgive. You can love as an action, but forgiveness is a quality of reaction. So some qualities depend upon conditions, and some do not depend upon conditions. Paul did not say that I glory in my tribulation because tribulation worketh love. No, Paul loved if he had no tribulation at all. Paul didn't say I glory in my tribulation because tribulation worketh kindness. No, Paul could be kind without tribulation. Paul didn't say I glory in my tribulation because tribulation worketh generosity or caused me to win souls. No, you can win souls without tribulation. You can be generous without tribulation. You can be kind without tribulation. You can love without tribulation. You can be gracious without tribulation. But Paul said this. He said, I could never have used my patience if I had never had any trials or tribulations. Many years ago, my sister bought me a bicycle. She was 18 and I was 10. She was 8 years older than I was. Of course, now there are more years between us than that. She's much older than I am now. But at that time, she was only 8 years older than I. But she bought me a bicycle. My dad was a drunkard and hardly worked, and Earlene made $10 a week and supported the entire family. She fed us, she clothed us, she paid the rent, everything when I was a boy. But, she was 17 and I was 9, I think it was. No, I think she was 18 and I was 6. But anyway, she bought me a bicycle. It had everything. It was loaded. It had I can still see it, a little round horn right here, a little button on top, beep, and then had a little light right here. And had everything. Had power steering, air conditioning, automatic transmission, bucket seats, had everything. It was loaded. On Christmas morning, my sister gave it to me. But you know what was happening that Christmas morning? It was stormy. It was rainy. So I couldn't ride a bicycle. You say, why couldn't you? You don't think we'll get a brand new bicycle out in the rain, do you? That's like a car. The first little spot you get on it, you wipe it off. And after a while, you get mad and you kick spots on it. But no. It was days before I could ride that bicycle because it was too stormy. And I sat and looked at that bicycle. I rode it around in the living room. My mother always let me, our house was to live in. She always let me play in the house and every floor. And then she let me ride it around the living room. But I didn't get outside to ride that bicycle probably for 7 days. And I was about to go crazy. I've got the bicycle. I want to use the thing, but didn't get to use it. Guess what Paul is saying here? Paul is not saying primarily that tribulation makes patience. He says tribulation works patience. It puts it to work. Now, it does make it. Folks who have more tribulation have more patience. And folks that have more trials have more patience. But what Paul is saying here, he's saying, the word is perform, really, the word perform. He's saying tribulation allows the patience that you already have to perform. Gives you a chance to use it. You know, I would never have chosen trials, and you wouldn't either. We look at a coming cloud in our lives and see a trial on the way. We'd never choose trials as we look at them from the front. But I want to say this now, as I look back over most of my life, most of my life is gone now. I look back over my life, and I'm looking back over the great majority of the years that God has and will give me. But as I look back, I thank God I had the tribulation. I thank God I had the burdens. Now hold it. I don't want any more. That's enough. I don't want any more. But I didn't want those that I had. You know, these folks down here this morning, they're beaming. They're having a big time. You young whippersnappers, you think you get old, you don't have any fun. You don't know what it's like. These folks, listen, that's a happy-looking crowd here than that crowd over there is. I'll guarantee you. Boy, you can't wait till you get this age. Look how they beam over here and how happy they are. And where they go, they enjoy it more. They have to stay longer. It takes longer to get through it. Where we go, I mean. Dr. Evans and I, we're walking up that step right there and coming in for youth conference, you know. And all these kids out here, and we were going to walk out and do like that, you know. Old Doc was holding on like this, and we walked up the steps, and I had a sore heel, and I was walking like that. And I said, those kids could see us now. As soon as we opened that door, he straightened up. My heel got healed. We walked in and bounced, and, you know, and the kids thought, boy, that's sure a young man for an old fellow, old codger like that. They should have seen us walking up these steps here a while beforehand. But I'm saying, these folks here, they've got burdens. By the way, so are these over here. The great crowd of young people, I think Dr. Evans and maybe Brother Lapina and I were talking last week, those young people have burdens too. They have broken hearts too. Now, as I look at life, I would never choose a burden. But as I look back at the burden, I rejoice that I had it. Why? It enabled me to use the patience that God has given me. It enabled me not only to make more patience, but it enabled me to manifest the patience that God has given me. Now, I would not choose enemies. I would never have chosen enemies. The truth is, it's the honest truth. God hears me. My hand's on that book. There's not a person alive today I wouldn't give him a bottom dollar for if he needed it. Not a one. Nowhere, anybody. I'm nobody's enemy. I hate nobody. I dislike nobody. I would give my last dollar to anybody in the world, even though it's my bitterest enemy. If you don't believe me, test me on it. Try me. And if you're one of them, ask me. I know what's going to happen. These guys are going to walk up. I'm going to have a whole crowd of folks walk up after the service saying, hello, enemy. But I just gave my last dollar to Brother Moffitt. But anyway, I'm saying that I wouldn't have chosen enemies. I don't like enemies. I don't enjoy it. I do not think I've quite learned yet. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, falsely rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I'd like to be that way, and I'm going to work on it. But the truth is, I would not have chosen enemies in life. But as I look back toward the enemies I've had, I thank God I had them. You know why? I could never have loved my enemies if I didn't have any enemies. I could never have blessed those that cursed me if I didn't have anybody to curse me. I could never have prayed for those that despitefully used me if I didn't have anybody to despitefully use me. Now, let me say it. I've had enough. That's all enemies I want. But I would not choose them. Nor would I have chosen enemies at all in my life. I would not have done so. I do not like to be hated. I love to be loved, just like you do. And I don't like for folks to hate me, just like you don't like for folks to hate you. But as I look back from the hindsight and take a backward look at my enemies, I thank God that I had a chance. God knows I love, but I had a chance to show that I love the enemies. had a chance to bless those that curse me. As I take a backward look, I would not have chosen battles. I'm not a fighter by nature. Now, Brother Roloff, people like that were fighters. Lester Roloff, I've often said this, told it with Lester Roloff's presence. If a bullet was, if Lester and I were in the same room and a bullet were to come through the room, he'd jump out in front of it. He would. He just liked battle. Now, not me. If a bullet came through this room, I'd be inside this pulpit right now, because this pulpit is bulletproofed on the inside. But I've often said I had rather be in the Guinness Book of Records than the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And so, look, get in a hurry, folks. You're a little slow this morning. Let's get with them now. And I don't like battles. I don't like to fight. I would never have chosen to fight. If God would have allowed me to make my choice, I would never have chosen to fight. But as I look back on my life, I thank God I had some battles to fight. Why? I could never have manifested courage. I had no battles to fight. If I hadn't had any enemies, I could never have loved my enemies. If I hadn't had any trials, heartaches, I could never have known patience or used the patience that I had. And had I never had any battles, I could never have known any courage. And Dr. Bill Rice III said one day to me, he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, I envy you fellows that are older. Well, that's not often said. But I envy you fellows that are older. I said, why? Well, he said, take you and my dad, Dr. Bill Rice, his dad. And he said, Uncle John, Dr. John Rice. He said, you fellows back yonder in the days when the Southern Baptist Convention was, before it started deteriorating and before the schools got liberal, all of a sudden you saw some of the schools get liberal. And said, you guys took your stand and you fought the battles and you stood alone. And he said, I envy you guys. He said, have mercy on us fellows that are younger. He said, we haven't had a chance to do that. He said, we came along and fundamentalism was thriving, independent Baptist churches doing well. And he said, sometimes I envy you fellows because you guys got to stand alone and you got to fight. And I would not have chosen battles, but I thank God as I look, make the backward look, I thank God I had them. It gave me a chance to manifest what courage I had. And I thank God as I look back on life, at the trials, it gave me a chance to use whatever patience I had. I recall, I thought of this in years, so just now. I had a wisdom tooth that bothered me when I was in Texas. It's been about 30 years ago. And you fellows never have to worry about wisdom teeth. But I had wisdom tooth that bothered me. Oh, let me tell you something. I'd rather go through half the tribulation period than have a wisdom tooth in trouble. I had trouble. And, oh, it bothered me. And it bothered me. And the only way I'd get relief was to put an aspirin right against it. Just right on it. And I guess for days, I'd put aspirins right on the thing. It gave me relief. And finally, I decided to go to dentists. Now, I don't like to go to doctors. No real man likes to go to a doctor. Doctors are for women and children, not for real men. We'd rather die in our sleep, die suddenly. Women go to doctors. Men don't go to doctors. We just don't do it. In the first place, we can't afford it because you women spend all our money going to doctors. Finally, after days and weeks, I went to a dentist. Now, bear in mind this. That aspirin against that tooth, you know what it does? It burned that flesh out. And these dentists were two young men. They had only been in business 4 or 5 years. And one of them looked at my tooth, and a big grin came across his face. And he said, that's some kind of anoma. I know what he said. And he was grinning. And he went out, and he told his partner. He said, guess what I found? We finally got a case of, he called a big long name. I said, what is that? He said, it's cancer of the gum. He was happy about it. They'd never had a case of that before. They were thrilled to get a chance to have a case of that. And the other fellow looked inside. He said, sir, it's either cancer of the gum or, he said, have you been putting aspirin against that tooth? I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Yes, I have. He said, that's what caused it. And the other fellow almost cried. He was disappointed. You know why? Because the fellow had gone to dental school and learned how to handle that kind of a patient. And now, finally, he had a chance to manifest his knowledge and what he had learned in dental school, and he wanted to use it. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul said, I would not have chosen tribulation, but looking back, I say, hot dog, I got to use the patience when I went through tribulation. He didn't say hot dog in the Greek. It's not in the English, but he
And he looked back and he said, I would not have chosen enemies, but looking back on my life, he said, well, hot dog, I've got to use my love. I got to love my enemies. I got to obey Jesus. Jesus said, bless those that curse you. Love those that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Paul said, I glory. That word glory is a strong word. It means glory like we're supposed to glorify God. I doxazo. I'm not talking in tongues. I just totally get out of myself and praise God for trials of my faith and tribulation. Well, why, Paul? Why? He said, because I got to use the patience I thought I had. And I fought the battles. I got to use the courage I thought I had. I had the enemies. I had a chance to love my enemies. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You will never know real joy until you have to go through a trial and that trial manifests your patience. And you've never known real joy till you have an enemy like to kill you, like to destroy you, like to ruin you. And you bless him and help him and love him. That's joy. You've never known real joy till you fight a battle where your whole life and your whole future is on the line. But you stand. You know you're right. And you know you stand in the face of battle. I'm not talking about battles you make. I'm talking about battles that come on you. Paul said, I think he's saying, I did not want to fight a battle, but he said, I glory because I did. I got to show my courage. I did not want to go through tribulation, but I'm glad I did because I got to work, let my patience work. I did not choose to have enemies, nor did I ever make one on purpose, he said. But I glory in the fact that I had them because it gave me a chance to love my enemies, and I could never have had that chance. I would not have chosen to be wronged. I would not have chosen for anybody to ever wrong me or do me an injustice. But looking back on life now, as I look from the backside, I say to myself, I thank God for that. I glory in that. Why? It gave me a chance to forgive. I couldn't have forgiven anybody if I had never been wronged. So thank God people mistreated me. Oh, you say, I tell you, I hate him. He mistreated me. Hey, rejoice! Has somebody done you wrong? Hey, congratulations! Hey, you got a chance now to wave your flag and say, let me show you the forgiveness I had all the time. That's what Paul is saying here. Let me show you. The Bible talks about Job along this line. You know why Job had his trials? God wanted to show off his kid. He wanted to show off his kid. My daddy and his little bitty boy, he must know how he wanted to show how tough I was. He'd hit me and I'd keep on coming. He'd hit me, I'd keep on coming. Hit me, I'd keep on coming. He had me black and blue. But I kept on coming. And that's sort of what God said. God said, hey, devil, show me your kids. Devil said, I haven't got any I want to show you. Devil hadn't got a single one of his young ones he wants to show you, I guarantee you. God said, let me show you one of mine. Let me say this. Hear me carefully. To lose something in the will of God is to find something better. Did you hear what I said? I said to lose something in the will of God is to find something better. Follow this. My mother was afraid to die. My sister will remember that. When mother was young, she wouldn't talk about dying. And when she got older, I mean, got up 75, 80, 85, 90, she lived to be 96. That's encouraging, isn't it? She lived to be 96. But when mother was even 90, she didn't want to talk about dying. I think she's afraid to die. But if you ever saw anybody die right, my mama did. If you ever saw death like it ought to be done, you should have gone to my mama's bedside. She was at the college in the clinic out there, and ask anybody who went to see her in the last days. They came out stronger because of it. I mean, you walk in. If you went to see Mother in the last days of her life, the last 6 months, you sang Sweet Hour of Prayer. You didn't get out. And she'd ask you to sing. And Mother loved my singing. Nobody else does, but Mother does. She did. She loved my singing. I'd stand there and sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. But several times I'd bend down to Mother and I'd say, Mama, you know that you haven't got long, don't you? And she'd say, Son, I know that. And Mother would say, Son, tell me some more about heaven. And I'd tell her some more about heaven.
We'd sing together. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. And she'd sing, oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. We'd sing it through. And then we'd sing, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. And we'd sing about heaven. We all get to heaven and we'd sing about it. And we'd sing, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. And here's what happened. I'd say, Mama, I'm so proud of you. Mama, you know you're going to go to heaven pretty soon. But I said, you are absolutely manifesting God's grace in the last days of your life like nobody I've ever seen. And you know what she'd do? Sometimes she'd say, I know. She was so proud of herself. You know what? She always thought death was the worst word in the world. And my mama always, she would shake, she didn't want to even think about death. And when folks or her friends had died, she didn't even want to talk about her friends that were dead. But oh, how proud of her. See, Mama had grace she didn't know she had. But Mama never would have gotten to show that grace if she had died suddenly. But as she lingered there, I wonder how maybe she did more good in the last 6 months of her life as she showed us how to die and how to suffer. That's what the apostle is saying. Look, you say, Brother House, I've got some burdens. I've got a load of burdens. Okay, wait a while. Just right now, endure it a while and show your patience and your courage and your love of others. And when you get through it, you'll be amazed as you look back on it. You'll say, I wouldn't have missed that for the world. It gives not only a chance for you to show yourself, but tribulation and trial gives God a chance to show Himself. I would not have chosen to be weak, ever. If I had chosen, I would never have chosen to be weak. But as I look back on my life, I rejoice that God made me weak sometimes because it gave me a chance to know His strength. I would not have chosen to suffer. I would not. But as I look back on my life, I say, I'm glad I got to suffer. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Why? Because it gave me a chance to know His grace. I would not have chosen to be alone. But in being alone, it gave me a chance to know His presence. I want to say this. You know, clouds are not near as bad after you get through them as they were before you got to them. You folks ever live in Texas, down in the plains of Texas, you've seen those big old clouds come up. Man alive. We call them northers because all the bad weather came from the north. And look up north and a great big old black cloud, good night, looked like a devil's face as it came rolling in. And we'd go to the storm cellar. Remember the storm? You remember the storm cellars? Storm cellar, that was a hole in the background. Background. The backyard. In the ground, in the background of the backyard. Back here behind the house. And it had some steps going down into it and usually had concrete floor. And you'd walk down those steps under the ground. You'd sit there till the storm passed over. And so you wouldn't get killed. Then you'd get bit by a rattlesnake is down there in the thing, and you'd die in the storm cellar. We had run to the storm cellar, but you know, sometimes we didn't make it to the storm cellar, and sometimes we didn't have storm cellars. I remember one time my sister had to walk 2 miles from the bus stop coming home from high school. We lived out in the country, little two-room shack of a place. And a storm came up, and my mother said, oh, Earlene's she's out walking, and the storm's coming up, and I can hear my mother praying. And when she prayed for Earlene, she hollered. She prayed for me, she cried. Prayed for Earlene, she hollered. Because Earlene needed prayer more than I did. But anyway, she, oh, God, oh, bless my girl, take care of my girl, oh, God, take care of my girl. She's standing there wringing her hands and screaming and hollering, and the storm came. But you know, when the storm came, it was bad. But it wasn't near as bad as the cloud. And you know, in the storm, there's some things that you get you'd never get if you'd never have gotten if you hadn't been in the storm. We had a youth conference this week. Thursday night, we had a big shindig planned out the college. We're going to feed all those thousands of kids. They're going to tour Hiles Anderson College. We had several thousand seats, folding chairs set up around our beautiful lake out there. We had a trick ski water ski show planned. Some of our students and one former student, professional water skiers, they're going to give us a water ski show. And then we had several thousand dollars tied up in a fireworks demonstration. We're going to have fireworks out there. And guess what happened along about 6 o'clock? Oh, I was here at the church about to go out there. I looked out, and I thought it was midnight. I went out and got in the car. Oh, it was black. Good night. I said, Lord, don't you love me anymore? And I got in the car and drove by soul. You could, the windshield wipers complained even. And driving through that awful torrential rain and got out there, everything was soaking. And going to have a firework display and a big outdoor get together and all those chairs soaking wet and all the people soaking wet. And raining, oh, and dark and raining. So I walked Dr. Evans' office. After a while, several of us gathered in his office that had a part in the program. Dr. Evans, that's Dr. Evans, and me, and Ed Lapina, Mr. Rasmussen, and Clyde Wolf, and Bill McSpadden. Now, that's a crowd that never has been together before, just like that. And so we're sitting in Dr. Evans' table there, his conference table. We're trying to figure out what to do. And you never saw so many brilliant people not know a single thing. We thought of everything. You wouldn't believe all the stuff we thought of. But nobody liked anybody else's ideas. And we sat there and we chatted a while. And we had more fun in the storm. We did. Mr. Rasmussen would bring up an idea. His were the dumbest of all. And Dr. Evans, he wouldn't bring any up. He's too dumb to bring one up even. And anyway, we sat there. And we every second or two looked out to see if it was still raining. And it was still raining. And we'd call and say, we could see it was still raining. We'd call just to check on the walkie-talkie to be sure what we saw was what they saw too. Still raining, still raining. And, you know, we sat there hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half. And we said, okay, now, if this is called off, now, bear in mind, all the time we've been praying that we could show the fireworks. I prayed all the way out there, God give us just an hour to shoot the fireworks, all that, an hour. Then after I got out there, I spent the rest of the time planning to do what to do in case it didn't quit raining. I'm a man of great faith. And so we got, but you know, it did stop raining for about an hour, and we shot the fireworks off and had the water ski show. But everybody, it was a quagmire out there. It looked like a Texas hog pen. It was a quagmire, and we looked like Texas hogs the time we got out of it. But you know, people have told me, Elaine, they've told me, they said we had more fun than we ever had in our lives. A couple of our young ladies wrote me a letter. I think it's a Nymar girl wrote me a letter, and she said, my friend and I, we had more fun. Said, you should have seen us. You'd never believe we were having fun. But we just wallowed in the mud, and we had the time of our lives and sit out there and pouring down rain. And finally, before it's over, watching the fireworks go, look up to the fireworks. Had put windshield wipers on my glasses and looking up, and we had more fun. And you know what? I said, Dr. Evans and fellows, we better get together now and plan something for tomorrow to make up for this bad weather tonight. What didn't turn out? Some folks already gone home. And so we went up and got a bite to eat, just the six of us. And I sat around the table for the first time with Dr. Evans and Dr. Rasmussen and Brother Lapina and Brother Wolf and Brother McSpadden. And we planned, for those that didn't get to see the fireworks, we planned to have it reenacted here in this auditorium on Friday. For those, and we did. We turned all the lights out. We had them, the patriotic music playing. And then we turned the spotlight on Bill McSpadden. First, we'll have the fireworks demonstration. Bill McSpadden walked out with a little sprinkler, a sparkler holding up. Now, we said the grand finale. A firecracker went off in the choir. And now we said the closing of it all is when the Statue of Liberty is unveiled. You know how they do it, the fireworks. They have it, the fireworks actually. With the big torch, thank you. And the trio started singing the song, "The Cross Is My Statue of Liberty," you know. And Bill McSpadden walked out in a Statue of Liberty gown, holding up a sparkler, waving at the crowd. And you know, we had more fun, and we had a lot more fun we'd have had if it hadn't stormed. Now, look, we don't want it again. That's all. No more. Not next year. We don't deserve that much fun. But isn't that a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about?
You folks that have lived longer than the rest of us young folks have, we who've lived longer, we face the storm just like we didn't want the storm. We don't want the pain. We don't want the heartache. We don't want the enemy. We don't want the battle. We don't want the suffering. We don't want the trial. We didn't want it any more than you want it. But when the cloud came, it was not near as bad as we thought it was going to be. And looking back on it, we say we thank God because it gave us a chance to show ourselves. It gave God a chance to show Himself. And thirdly, and just very quickly, it gives others a chance to show themselves. Makes you find out you have friends, doesn't it? I'll never forget. Oh, when Mother went to heaven, everybody wanted to do something for us. Everybody wanted to do something for us. And I went home for a few minutes that night. I was going to go back. I'm not sure what I had that night. I had to come back to church. While I was there, somebody rang the doorbell, and somebody brought us some food. And the one person brought enough food the last 3 weeks. And the doorbell rang again. Somebody else brought some food. You should have seen our house. We had food all over the living room. We had food in the entrance hall closet. We had food in the dining room. We had food in the kitchen. We had food in the bedroom. We had food everywhere. And everybody brought enough to last us all week. And yet, there was something sweet about it. Everybody said we love them. We care. I would not have chosen for Mother to have gone to heaven when she did. But looking back on it, I thank God for it. And I'm looking back on most of my life. I know it's mostly, most of it's gone. As I look back on it, I never had a trial that I wanted to have. But I've never had one that I wasn't glad I had. I've never carried a load that I wanted to carry. But I never looked back, never had one. I looked back on it. I was glad I got to carry it. Never had an enemy that I wanted to have. But looking back on it, I never had an enemy. What I wasn't a better man for him. I never had a battle I wanted to fight. But looking back on it, I never had a battle. I was glad. What I was glad, I got to fight it. These folks down here this morning, I feel sorry for young people. They're too young to know anything. But I think it's a wonderful thing to be older. I really do. It's a wonderful thing because you're looking back on the battles and the trials and the heartaches. And you've gotten to use the qualities that require reaction. Anybody can love. Nobody has to do a thing to provoke love. Anybody can be generous. Nobody has to do a thing to provoke generosity. Anybody can be kind. Nobody has to do a thing to provoke kindness. But you can't love your enemies unless you have some. You can't pray for those that despitefully use you till somebody despitefully uses you. And you can't bless those that curse you till somebody curses you. I got a note yesterday. Dear Dr. Hiles, please forgive me. I've said some awful things about you. It's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I wrote back and said, Dr. Robertson, you're forgiven. No. I said, dear Dr. Hiles, I've said some awful things about you. I didn't know you. But he said, I heard you preach not long ago, and I saw the tears roll down your cheeks while you preached. He said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me that you're a sincere man. He said, could you ever forgive me for all the bad things? I dictated a letter back, and I said, whatever forgiveness you need, you got it. However much you want, it's all yours. And I said to my secretary, I want you to charge it to my account, of course, and I want you to get me a little Bible or Testament, I forget which it was. I want you to have his name engraved on the front of it. I want to send it to him, and I want to tell him I love him. I couldn't have done that if he hadn't criticized me. No wonder the Apostle Paul, now that he's older, looks back at his long life, and he says, thank God for the fiery trials. It gave me a chance to use my patience. I thank God
the tribulation, it gave me a chance to show my patience. I thank God for the battles. It gave me a chance to show my courage. I thank God for my enemies. It gave me a chance to love my enemies. And I thank God for all the burdens I had. It gave me a chance to know the grace of God. I thank God for my loneliness. It gave me a chance to know the sweetness of His presence. And I thank God for my reversals. It gave me a chance to know my friends. It gave my friends a chance to say, I love you to me. Rejoice in tribulation. Glory in tribulation. And in the fiery trials of life, for tribulation worketh patience. Storm coming up. You see it coming. Looks bad, doesn't it? It's not going to be as bad as it looked. Are you in it now? Rain is falling. Huh? Thunder, lightning, heavy winds. In it now? I promise you. Use your patience. Claim the presence of God. And one day the storm be over. And you look back at it and you'll say, thank God for storms. As I look back on my life, the things I thank God for the most then, I thank God the least for now. And the things I thank God for the least then, I thank God for the most now. And those places that I thought were valleys back yonder years ago, as I look back on them, I'll declare I was on a mountain peak and didn't even know it. Father, bless the truth that we've tried to